Batch, good morning to you. Hey,
Good morning,
I
guys.
wanted to ask you this, Batch, because listen, you travel around the league, you see the opponent for one night, and you move on. What have you learned, or what has surprised you having called these games now and watched these teams more that maybe you didn't know were players that you appreciate more than you would have during the last few years of just seeing them, every couple of months?
Yeah, the one group of players that's really stood out to me is the third line for the Tampa Bay Lightning, which was kind of constructed at the trade deadline almost. And, we last saw the Tampa Bay Lightning in January. So they've got, Barkley Goodrow and Blake Coleman and Yanni Gourde centers that line. And, in an organization in Tampa Bay where they've got, Steven Stamkos, who came in and scored a big goal in the game last night, they've got Kucherov, they've got Point, they've got Hedman. Those guys aren't necessarily stealing headlines, but I think that line has been crucial to their success and has brought a little bit more sandpaper to their game. And it's clear that that was something that Julien Brisebois and the Lightning wanted to address after the way they went out in the playoffs last year in the first round to Columbus, and maybe they felt they weren't hard enough to play against. So yes, they do burn a couple of first-round picks in those trades, but you bring in a guy like Barkley Goodrow, who's been a really good fit with Blake Coleman and Yanni Gourde on that third line. Of course, Coleman comes in the trade where they moved that pick that they acquired in the JT Miller deal to New Jersey, and both of those guys bring that grit. They're able to contribute offensively further down the lineup as well. And if I look at two guys that maybe I didn't have enough respect for and should have had more respect for, it would be Barkley Goodrow and Blake Coleman, what they mean to that Tampa Bay Lightning team and the success that they've had to this point.
When you look, the Canucks got what, one game to a conference final, and do you when you look at what these two teams are doing, banging and crashing and going at it, and the depth on both these rosters, do you say, the Canucks aren't that far off, or do you look at yourself and say, oh man, this is going to take a little while still?
A little bit of both, because with the Canucks' young players, the sky is going to be the limit. Because the one thing about young players in the NHL is that they can take massive leaps in their development from year to year. So as good as Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson have been, it's entirely possible that they're just that much better next year and the year after, because they're still growing and developing and learning the NHL game. And both of those guys are going to get bigger and stronger, and they'll have this experience that they had this year in the playoffs to benefit them going forward in terms of what to expect from playoff hockey. Where it really stands out for me, the difference between a Dallas Stars and a Tampa Bay Lightning and the Canucks, is the depth. The bottom six forward groups, the third defensive pairing, where I alluded to a couple of guys like Goodrow and Coleman, who are still big offensive impacts for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but they go out in a third line role. They play a matchup role a lot of the time. You look down the Dallas Stars lineup, especially on their back end, you've got a guy like Jamie Oleksiak, who's a big impact player for them, on top of having Klingberg and Heiskanen and Lindell. They've had some young players chip in. Roope Hintz has been a nice find for them. Joel Kiviranta as well, Denis Gurianov. So that, to me, is the difference. It's not the top end of the lineup. Like, the Canucks' top players would be able to play in a series like this and do just fine. Where they struggle and where they're going to have to improve over the next few years is that depth, is having a third line that doesn't just have to go out on the ice and hold its head above water, but that can actually dictate the play
They
and
can
help you add
counterpunch.
even more offense. Yeah,
Yeah, like they can
exactly.
counterpunch. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and isn't that the disappointment right now, where all the money is paid to that bottom six? That's what we talked about for 2 years, and then you move up in stature and competition-wise and realize that money in the bottom six is actually what's hurting you right now. Do you think the depth is there in this Canucks organization? Is Adam Gaudette going to be one of those players that you watch, that if he's the number three center, he will be able to add in your mind? Is that where this team's got to go?
Yeah, I'm personally not convinced that Adam Gaudette should be playing center in the NHL. And he certainly had his ups and downs, and he can bring some offensive contributions. But to me, in terms of you know, needing to be a beast in the faceoff circle and be reliable defensively as a 200-foot player, especially if they want to be able to use a third line in a matchup role in the future. Gaudette isn't that guy for me. And, you know, we talk about that line as if it's the third line, but when you look at the way it was deployed, it's essentially the fourth line. Like, the Beagle line is used as the third line because they actually use it in a matchup role at times, more like a secondary matchup role, with Horvat getting a lot of those minutes as well. But, you know, to me, one of the things the Canucks should be targeting this offseason, whether it's through trade or free agency, is someone that can solidify that third line center ice position, because I'm personally not convinced that Adam Gaudette is that guy. And you know what? He's a young player as well, so there's still lots of opportunity for him to grow and improve in that role and prove me wrong. But at the same time, this is a Canucks team that is entering its window right now. You know, next season is going to be the last year that you have Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes on entry-level contracts before you have to pay them a ton of money. And then filling out the rest of your roster is going to be challenging for a different reason, not because you're spending money on guys in the bottom six, because some of that money will come off the books, but because you have to actually spend money on your top players. So, you know, with Gaudette, as I said, at the NHL level, I'm more convinced that he could be an option for them on the wing in a role like that. But, you know, to me, they kind of have to solidify that center ice position. And, you know, as much as Brandon Sutter had a good playoff for them, he feels to me like a guy that they need to try and move off his money to help alleviate some of those issues that they're having in the bottom six, if that is at all possible that they can get out from underneath a contract like his or Louis Erickson's or Antoine Roussel's.
Yeah, and I mean, trying to, you know, Brian Burke kind of made this point, and we'll share that conversation coming up at the bottom of the hour, but it's really a sucker's bet trying to predict what this offseason is going to look like right now, is with the landscape, and even just trying to figure out these next 2 weeks with the big three, the pending unrestricted free agents, with Chris Tanev, Tyler Toffoli, and obviously Jacob Markstrom between the pipes. Brandon Batchelor with us here on Sportsnet 650. Batch, last night, man, we'd be remiss if we didn't have a chance to ask you. Steven Stamkos last night, I mean, pulling the Undertaker, and I know you'll appreciate that reference, unlike my co-host here, but it's coming out of nowhere, sitting up, rising from the dead, snipes one, and boy, if the Lightning can somehow find a way to hang on and win this series, I mean, we could be looking at an iconic Stanley Cup historical moment here, but they've got to take care of business, though.
Yeah, could we ever? And, you know, it's funny you mentioned The Undertaker, because I actually brought that up on the broadcast last night, saying that when he returned to the bench, he was walking quite stiff. It was like that slow walk down to the ring that takes 25 minutes every time The Undertaker comes to the ring. But, yeah, you know, that's an iconic moment. That's a guy who clearly is not close to 100% coming back to try and help his team. And you know what? He did help them. I know he only played, you know, what was it, not even 3 minutes in the hockey game. But he gets that one opportunity. And, you know, maybe Anton Khudobin was out of position a little bit. But he scores a big goal for them. They go on to win the game. And, yeah, you're right. If the Lightning win the Stanley Cup and it's Steven Stamkos out on the ice as the captain hoisting it above his head here, you know, in the next week or so, then that will be an iconic moment in the Stanley Cup final, that this guy who had core muscle surgery in March and clearly is not at 100% yet, found a way to get himself back into a game and have a contribution, even if he doesn't appear for the rest of the series. And with a back-to-back coming up tomorrow and Saturday, I would expect that there's no way he plays both of those games, even if he magically finds a way to get into one of them. But for him to come in and score a goal like that, it was something pretty special to watch. And, you know, I'm sure it's something that, you know, having had the chance to call it, I'll remember for a long time.
Yeah. And geez, Batch, I would be surprised if we see him again. I just found his press conference last night. It was like, well, that was a great moment. And if that's all I get, that's great. You know, you talked about how the third liners have surprised you in calling the Stanley Cup final. But for me to watch Nikita Kucherov as much as I have now, hey, we know he's one of the best in the game. But did you think he's that good and that gritty?
Yeah, I've been impressed by his grit. That's a good point, where, you know, he's had a few instances in the series already where, you know, he goes crashing into the end boards heavily, or he takes a blindside hit away from the play. And yet, you know, there he is on the score sheet every night. So, you know, you think of him more as like a skill guy, and Hershey and I, in talking about him, have sort of compared him to Alexei Kovalev as one of those guys that has elite skill, but kind of, you know, marches to the beat of his own drum. But, you know, at the same time, to have the amount of success he has, you've got to be able to battle through adversity, and you've got to be a team guy to a certain extent as well. So, you know, it's clear that a guy like that is there for the team and is there to win. He's not just there to get his points. And when you see, you know, him come back from crashing into the end boards and having his visor cracked, and yet is still able to contribute, you know, at a goal and an assist last night, he's been a huge factor for them throughout the series and throughout the playoffs. He's a guy that, you know, as much as I already appreciated how strong a player he was, you get that much more appreciation for, you know, his willingness to sacrifice at this point in the postseason as well.
Batch, thanks for this. Quick turnaround for you. I calling the game last night, and then you got back-to-backs here coming up in the Stanley Cup Final Friday and Saturday. So take the rest of the day off. That's Perry and I's mandate for you today.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, we used to have like 3 games in 2.5 days when I worked in the WHL.
Yeah.
Travel in there as well. Yeah. So 3 and 4 is pretty good. I get a day off in the middle. It's not too bad when you're calling the Stanley Cup Final, that's for sure.
I was going to say, Batch, and never in those games was your last thing you said, and they are the Stanley Cup champions. So enjoy that moment, man. It'll be great for you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Batch, while we still got you, you're still there. Okay, so today is, not, back on this day in 1988, Ben Johnson, 9.79. You know, kind of the most infamous moment in Canadian sports history where Ben wins gold and then ultimately tests positive. You know, for me, mm-hmm. you know, we're asking everybody this morning, if you had a sports do-over, if you could have a mulligan and change a moment or an event in sports history, what would it be? I mean, without question, that would be mine. But what would be yours?
Yeah, that's a tough question. There are lots of moments that you could think of. None that I really had a personal emotional investment in that I can immediately pull to top of mind. But you can think about, you know, the Brett Hall goal for the Dallas Stars where they win the Stanley Cup and it probably shouldn't have counted. And, you know, Buffalo Sabres fans are still upset about that. To this day, you look at like the Marty McSorley penalty for the illegal stick in the Stanley Cup final in 1993.
Yes.
Like, you know, there are all sorts of these moments littered throughout the history of sports. So I don't know if I personally have one that probably the Aaron Rome suspension would be one for Canuck fans where, you know, certainly that's something that I still see mentioned on social media to this day that, you know, that Aaron Rome kind of has an unprecedented suspension in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup final. So
Batch, we have a lot of people texting in Nathan Lafayette finishes as opposed to
putting
out the post.
That's a good one, too. And, you know, even look at this year, Brock Besser on Robin Leonard with that wide open net in game seven to give them a 1-0 lead, and he doesn't find the back of the net. So that's the beauty of sports, right? There are those moments that could go your way and everything changes for the positive, but sometimes they don't. And you think about what could have been. And, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons that we love sports and we follow them so much is because sometimes things work and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, and
thanks,
Batch. Someone texting in the Whitecaps giving up 4 goals in the first 15 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a lot better for them if they had just not done that. So certainly.
Thanks, pal.
That's accurate. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.